Well, greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabel, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally and internationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 120 countries worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on the credit crisis when we come back. You know, under the terms of a contract called the Old Covenant, which was negotiated by Moses out at Mount Sinai, you and I are entitled to 33 articulable benefits such as rain in due season, multiplied gold, silver, herds, flocks, and great wealth. Well, George Bush said that what Americans wanted, though, was jobs, jobs, jobs. But you know, that's not what George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, or Ben Franklin, or Moses, or God had in mind when they wrote our Constitution and they wrote our Bill of Rights and the Ten Commandments. These authorities all recognized that real wealth is measured in land, cattle, property, gold, silver, wheat, corn, beans, honey, oil. It's not mentioned, nor is it jobs, jobs, jobs. And that's because there's no money in employment. The money is in private business. The money is in sales. The money is not in public business, nor is it in jobs, jobs, jobs. That's why I contend that it's time that you cashed in on your inheritance and learned how to collect those benefits of that old covenant contract and to collect those benefits in gold, silver, wheat, corn, beans, honey, and oil. That's called property instead of credit, debt, usury, inflation, and more worthless paper. Now, if you'd like to learn more about how to do just that, why don't you call for more information on our CD Home School for Adults, our business school, and order our free general law CD package at the same time. It's a four-hour commentary on the law in general. Remember, it's informative, it's entertaining, it's educational. And best of all, it's free, and you can call and order one right now. The number to call, 417-273-4967. Now, if you're online, you can go to our website. It's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Just click on the email and send us an email request for that free general law CD package. Once more, that's georgegordon.org. Do it right now before you forget. All right, we've been reviewing the article from the Money Changer on who is the villain in this credit crisis. Who has done what to who? Last time we identified the villain, it's the Federal Reserve. What did they do? They gave us paper money. Credit crisis that we're experiencing right now is the results of debt, usury, and paper money. And we got all three of these from the Federal Reserve. Now, that's what they offered, that's what we wanted, that's what we bought, and now there is an ultimate outcome to that. And the outcome is the results of nearly 100 years of this deficit spending, paper money, accumulation of debt, and the paying of usury. And so now they're just desperately working their hearts out and trying to protect us from deflation, which is exactly the wrong prescription. What we want is deflation. What we need is deflation. And what we're going to get is deflation, whether we want it or not. Now let's think about this for a minute. The price of gas at $4 a gallon, the other day it dropped to $2. That's deflation. Is that good or bad? I thought it was pretty good. Worked out well for me. I would rather pay $2 a gallon for gas than $4. Now, if you're an Arab oil sheik, that's bad. That deflation's terrible. Because that $140 a barrel that you were getting for your oil has now dropped to $40 a barrel. You've lost $100 a barrel. If the price of your house was $200,000 and it dropped to $150,000, that's bad. Oh, my God, we hate deflation. We don't want that deflation. But if you're a home buyer and you've got $150,000 and the $200,000 house dropped from $200,000 to $150,000, that's good. It's good because now you can take your $150,000, go out and buy and pay for the house. So I guess it depends on which side of the inflation deflationary curve you're on as to whether or not you're in favor of it. Well, the bankers are opposed to deflation. That's not where their money is. That's not where they make their money. Now, deflation is coming just as surely as the Titanic is going to sink to the bottom of the ocean with that 300-foot hole down the side of it. Now, it's not going to sink all at one time. It's not going to sink in the next 15 minutes, but ultimately it's going to sink. And the U.S. economy is going to sink. It's going to take 10 or 15 years maybe to reach the bottom, but it's going to the bottom. Now, once we all get it in our heads that the thing is not salvageable, it's a Ponzi scheme, and then it's going to collapse, the sooner that we can get it over with, the better. The sooner we can get off this tub. What we need is a lifeboat. We do not need a bucket to bail water. Now, once you get that through your head, that the logical thing for us to do when we're sitting on the Titanic is to get off. And the logical thing to do if you're on the great ship America economy is to get off. You're not going to save it anyway. Now, the fact that the powers that be are going to work their hearts out to save it, that's fine. Get after it. Don't let me get in the way of your happiness and your success. But that's not where the money is going to be made. The money is going to be made in the devalued assets. There is going to come a major shift in the ownership of these assets. All of these homes across America that are losing value are going to change hands. And when they change hands, we hope that they change hands down at the bottom. So if you're in the mind, or if you're in the mood or in the mode of buying as the market is going down, you're premature. Sit back and relax. Save your cash. Just sit back on the sidelines until we go down to the bottom. Unless, of course, you want to buy at $150,000 and watch it deteriorate further to $100,000. I'm talking about houses now. House values now have lost about 40% nationwide, in round numbers. And they're probably going to lose 50%. That's where they were in the last Great Depression. They lost about half their value. And this time around, since commodity prices have already lost 60% of their value, it's very likely that house values will degenerate further than 50%, maybe 60 or 70. So sit back and hang on to your cash. If you're not cash, if you don't have cash right now, well, then you need to get some. And then the way to do that is to get out of debt. So the first thing we need to do is to get you out of debt. Now, politics, not economics, is what's driving this. This is a political program right now. It doesn't have anything to do with economics. And when the politicians get involved in it, you can rest assured that they will screw it up. There isn't anything that politicians have ever put their hands to that they haven't screwed up. So they'll screw this up even more. Now, knowing that in advance, that just gives us another opportunity to make profit. That's what that boils down to. Now, since this monetary creation is the heart and soul of their political control, it must not be allowed to spin out of control into a deflation, because that truly would create a crisis that might overthrow the entire system. Therefore, the whole political will and will of everyone in power, that is, the political will of everybody in power, the bankers, the central bankers, the politicians, the big corporations, will be slammed into gear to fight any deflation. And Ben Bernanke, remember, with his November 2002 speech about fighting deflation by printing the printing press and by throwing money out of helicopters, that's why they call him Helicopter Ben, completely understands this. His academic work focused on the Great Depression. And it's for these reasons that I contend that the outcome here, driven as it is by political and not economic forces, is going to be inflationary. It should be deflationary. We should all of us be praying for deflation. Let's get this deflation out of the way, get the prices down to the bottom so we can go back to work. Now, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to work as hard as I can to hold the thing up as long as possible. And they'll stretch it out. That's all that's going to boil down to. Instead of having 2 or 3 months or 6 months of recession, we're going to have 10 years of depression. That's the bottom line. So if you want to know where the bottom is, it's a long ways out into the future. Now, yes, it's very true that underlying the economic conditions now are slowing down, that businesses are going bankrupt, that building is stopped, and that house prices are collapsing along with stocks and financial assets, and that's going to get worse as the gigantic bad debt continues to collapse and massive deleveraging proceeds. And I also understand that credit markets have locked up and banks are, for the moment, refusing to lend. But over the top of all of that, Bernanke and his accomplices are going to pump out money and money and more money, $700 billion in one bailout bill alone, $2 trillion already this year, not counting any new bailout they dream up today to prevent the genuine deflation of the money supply from taking place. Now, this money has not hit the economy yet. It takes about 18 months for this money to hit the economy. And that's going to drive prices. And prices going up now is the symptom, not the cause of inflation. When you see the price of gas go back up to $4, $6, $8, $10 a gallon, that's the symptom. It's the symptom of the creation of all this money, all this credit, and all these bailouts. Now, the last thing we want is inflation, because inflation drives the goods off the shelves, and that's what gives us shortages. That's why the people in Zimbabwe have the worst of both worlds. They don't have food in their stores. They don't have gasoline in their gas stations. They don't have goods and commodities because they've got too much money. They've got all the money in the world. They just print it out and put it out into circulation. But the money isn't worth anything. And governments pay their debts with all of this worthless money. So all of you people on Social Security can rest assured you're going to be paid every damn dollar you were promised. But your problem is that your millions and billions of worthless dollars aren't going to buy anything. You're going to see your Social Security checks go from $1,000 a month to $10,000 to $100,000 to $1 million to $50 million a month. Wait until you get your Social Security checks. Oh, my God, Martha, we got $52 million this month from our Social Security checks. But you're going to find out that it's going to cost you $25 million to pay your rent and another $25 million to buy food, and that'll take care of your $50 million a month. Now what are you going to use, you know, to pay for the oil, for the heating furnace, and so on? So it's not good. It's the worst of both worlds, called hyperinflation. That's what's coming. Bet on it. All right, so now that tells us in advance, then, that what we need is goods. You need to convert your dollars into the goods right now, today, while they're cheap, while everybody is scrambling to preserve their liquidity, to get out of debt, to meet their margin calls, etc. They're selling every and anything that they can get their hands on to sell. And so you're selling into a market that's saturated with all these goods. Don't be fearful. Go out and buy the goods. For instance, I got a 1,000-gallon tank out here. I'm going to fill that 1,000-gallon tank with diesel oil. I've got three 300-gallon tanks out here. I'm going to fill them with gasoline. But be patient. The oil price is dropping every day. The price of gasoline in July was $4 a gallon. The last time I saw a price here the other day was $1.60, and it's continually going down. So when it bottoms out, you know, somewhere around at some point in time here, the oil market will bottom out at $30 a barrel or $20 a barrel or wherever it finally ends up. And then when it does, that's the time to fill your gas tanks and then keep them full. Keep them full right there. Same thing with your food. You need a 4-year supply of food, and that's bare minimum. Bare minimum. You might need a 7-year supply. You need seeds. You need a piece of ground someplace to put the seeds into. You need food, clothing, and shelter. You got to have a 4-year supply. Just take a look at Zimbabwe today. That's where we're headed. That's where we're going. The shelves will be empty. If you're going to have shoes, remember 99% of your shoes come from outside of our borders here. I can't speak for you Canadians and Australians, but I'll just bet you it's about the same. So make sure that you got a 4-year supply of shoes, 4-year supply of shirts, 4-year supply of underwear, because that's what happened the last time, 1929 to 33. Took 4 years to hit the bottom. And preserve your liquidity. But don't preserve it in your national currency, because this worthless paper now is going to become absolutely worthless. Worthless paper today will become totally worthless in the future. So you want to have your wealth tied up in things like diesel fuel, food, clothing, shelter, gold, silver, wheat, corn, beans, honey, oil, and debt-free. Debt-free. If you've got debt, you're dead. Dead debt. Now remember, this is the article called Who is the Villain? It's the Money Changer. It's the October issue of the Money Changer, October 2008. Write this number down. It's 888. This is their phone number, 888-218-9226. That's 888-218-9226. The guy's name is Franklin Sanders, and he's identified the villain. The villain is paper money put out by the Federal Reserve. Are they going to learn from the lesson of the past? No, no. They're not going to learn from the Germans, the Weimar money. They're not going to learn from our past history, the collapse of the continental currency in 1783. So as a result of that, we're going to repeat those mistakes, those errors again. So let's, you and I, take advantage of it. That's all I'm suggesting is that, hey, listen, I don't make these laws, I don't make these rules, I don't make these policies, but I'm going to take advantage of it. Now that I know what they're going to do, Helicopter Ben says, we are going to inflate. We are going to protect you from deflation. I didn't know I needed protection from deflation. But that's fine. He says, you're not going to have $2 a gallon gas. You're going to have $50, $75, $100, and $500 a gallon gas. In Zimbabwe, last time I saw a number, gasoline, if you can believe this, listen, gasoline was $237,000 a gallon if you could find a gallon to buy. There wasn't any gasoline available. $237,000 a gallon. That's what you can expect here in America. And you'll be buying gasoline with your $50 million a month Social Security checks at $237,000 a gallon. Now, if you think that's good, well, just hang on. You're going to have an opportunity to test that out. You'll have an opportunity to live right through it and experience it. Sanders goes on. He says, now, should any doubt remain how our leaders are going to respond, Bernanke and Paulson have already been showing you since the beginning of the year. They will always, always, always inflate. They have only one weapon besides BS, and that's the inflation gun. And they have shown that they intend to shoot it and keep on shooting it, even if the barrel melts down. Now, on October the 24th, I saw on GaryNorth.com that the Federal Reserve is inflating at 341% per annum. Did you get that number down, boys and girls? This is Gary North, www.GaryNorth.com, that the Federal Reserve is inflating at 341%. Now, as recently as July, the rate was around 12%. It went up to about 15%. And now I pick up my money changer, and my God, they're up to 341% a year. Now, hyperinflation set in Brazil back in the 70s at the rate of 5,000% per year. That's 5,000% in 3 days. And inflation here in the United States has gone from 12 to 15% in July to 340% in 90 days. Right, now, pay attention now, boys and girls. By $300 billion. Now, the monetary base is high-powered money. And what banks have available to lend, fractional reserve banking enables them to lend more than $10 for every dollar in the monetary base. So $300 billion in adjusted monetary base translates to $3 trillion in new lending. Dr. North's words, if this expansion of the monetary base does not stop, it will create mass inflation when the banks begin to lend. Okay, so right now the banks are not lending. They're going to, but not right now. And if the banks won't lend, then Ben the Beneficent will simply bypass them with newly minted facilities. And on October the 27th, the Commercial Paper Funding Facility, the CPFF, Commercial Paper Funding Facility, will begin end running around the banks, buying commercial paper directly. Now, you can read that, loaning to corporations directly. They started doing that. They're lending money now directly to Citicorp, that Citigroup. We're calling this bailout. They're lending money now directly to General Motors and Chrysler. Now you can call that bailout, but what they're going to do is they're going to reliquify these corporations. Now already Ben has created a truly Rooseveltian string of other alphabet soup facilities. Last week he announced the Money Market Investor Funding Facility, that's the MMIFF. Banks or no banks, Ben will push money into circulation. Now is it possible the operators in the Fed and the government actually believe that inflation will work to ward off a depression? Well, right now they face a liquidity crisis. It's a demand for ready money in a locked up system. And they have literally no choice but to flood money into the system or watch the entire financial system and economy shut down. And unemployment shoot upwards toward 50%. Now I said a few minutes ago, that's good. Let General Motors and Chrysler and Ford go bankrupt. Let all those people that are working for those corporations be put out of work. Let the unemployment rate go up to 50% or 75%. But what will happen is the entire system will purge itself in short order. That's what happened in 1787. In 1787, our founding fathers wrote these 17 words into our Constitution. It says, no state shall make anything but gold or silver coin, a tender in payment of debt. They were in the midst of a Great Depression. The continental currency collapsed in 1783. They went into the Articles of Confederation. They didn't have any national currency here. They're just using money from any and every place they could get it in the world. Spanish money, English money, French money, whatever came in. 1783, they wrote our Constitution, and 36 months after they went to gold and silver as the official specie money of the United States in 3 years, George Washington, who was by that time president, wrote a letter to one of his buddies, and he said, I can't believe the dramatic turnaround in our economy in just 3 years. Now, from that 3 years, beginning around 1800 until 1910, America had virtually no inflation. It was a period of dynamic growth, and standard of living for everybody went up. Now, the bankers, you know, they want to get into the picture, and they like to make profits. Now, Ben Bernanke and the CEOs of United Airlines and IBM and so on, these people make money off of this paper money, this inflation. And I can understand they want more and more paper money. They want more and more stocks and bonds. But remember that our Creator now, God Almighty Himself, told us not to use unjust weights and balances in Leviticus 19, 35, and 36. He said, don't use paper money. Stocks and bonds, bad news for you. He told us not to practice usury and interest in Exodus 22, verse 25. He told us not to use debt and to practice land Sabbaths and Jubilees. He told us that in Leviticus 25, verses 1 through 9. It's an economic system. It's called the Ten Commandments economic system. We used that from 1787 to 1910, and it produced dramatic results. Dramatic results. Good for everybody. Not nearly as good for the bankers as they'd like it to be, so they created a thing called the U.S. National Bank. So we had paper money in 1794 or 1796 until 1836, and Andrew Jackson vetoed that U.S. National Bank bill, the Banking Act of 1836. And it was Abraham Lincoln that reinstituted his paper money in 1862 to finance the Civil War. Now, the demonetization of silver in 1873 was a step in the wrong direction. And the bankers have been putting their fingerprints all over our monetary system from day one, no doubt about it. But when we use gold and silver coin, boys and girls, we get a result from it. When we use paper money, we get a result from it. And the credit crisis that we're experiencing right now is the net results of the violation of Leviticus 19, 35, and 36, Exodus 22, 25, and Leviticus 25, verses 1 through 9. Now, we decided we weren't going to practice the law of God when it comes to economics, and by God, now we've got a solution. We've got a result that comes from it. If you like the result, stick with it. You've got a winning combination. If you don't like that result, then it's time for you to leave. Pack up and get out of the economy. Now, on the other end, inflation can only create a hyperinflationary depression. Now, such as destroyed the German economy in 1920 to 23. Now, this is what you can bet on. We're going to have that kind of a hyperinflationary depression. See, a depression can be deflationary or it can be inflationary. They've got an inflationary depression in Zimbabwe today. And I don't know what their unemployment rate is. Last time I heard, it was 80%. So you got 80% unemployed. You have famine. You've got disease. You've got a failed state. That's where we're headed. Bet on it. And then profit from it. And that's what our business school is aimed at doing. The purpose behind our business school is to teach you how to use the Ten Commandments and how to profit from it. I don't make the policy. I'm not going to impress or influence Barack Obama, our president, in any way. But I would bet that Mr. Obama is going to be listening to the bankers. I don't think he's going to be listening to God or Moses. I think he's going to pay attention to Bernanke and Paulson and Rubin, and I think we're going to have more and more inflation. And as a result of that, that's what you should be betting on. Now, don't miss this. Creating all these new dollars can only devalue the U.S. dollar in time and raise the prices of silver and gold. So now, you take your excess money, you put it into gold and silver. Now, let me tell you a little thing here called arbitrage. is this guy Franklin Sanders is the only guy that I know of that practices this, except for me. I was practicing it for a long time, and then I've been reading The Money Changer for years and years, and Franklin Sanders wrote a book on arbitrage, and then he entitled it, Why Silver Will Outperform Gold by 400%. Now, if you've been watching the price of silver and gold, when the ratio was about 50 to 1, Sanders said, buy silver, because silver is going to go to 16 to 1, and when it goes to 16 to 1, you cash it in for gold. And wouldn't you know it, the price of silver didn't go from 50 to 16, it went from 50 to 80. And right now, as I speak, the gold-silver ratio is out around 80, 75, or 80 to 1. Now, three times in the 20th century, three times, the gold-silver ratio has come back to 16 to 1. Now, as I speak, the price of gold is approximately $7.50 an ounce. So I'll just plug in $7.50, divided by about $10 an ounce for silver. Now, that's about 75 to 1. Now, the natural ratio is 17 point something to 1. Rounded off, it's about 16 to 1. And in 1919, 1942, and 1980, the price of gold and silver went to its natural ratio of 16 to 1 or less. 16 to 1. So right now, at this juncture of time, with silver out here at 75 to 1, you should be buying silver. Because when it moves back to 16 to 1, those ounces of silver that today you're getting 75 ounces of silver for a dollar, you'll be trading 75 ounces divided by 16 for 4.68 ounces of gold. So if you've got an ounce of gold and you trade it in for 75 ounces of silver, when the gold-silver ratio goes back to 16 to 1, then you'll multiply your 1 to 4.68. That's called arbitrage. Very common practice in stocks and bonds and commodities and things like that. And so rather than buying gold today, the logical thing to do would be to buy silver. Now take physical delivery of your silver, because silver has been sold into the future 15 years. So if you take all the production of silver that goes on and extrapolate that 15 years into the future, that's how much has been sold on paper. So there's a lot of you people that are sitting out there, and you're pretty cocksure of yourselves, and you're sitting there saying, well, look at all this silver that I own. Hey, look at all this gold I've got. And it's over here in the COMEX warehouse. Well, tuck this away in your heart. There isn't enough gold and silver out there to pay off. And one of these days, there's going to be a run on the bank. And when there's a run on the bank on the COMEX, then you'll find out how much gold and silver you got. Because somebody's going to collect theirs today, and somebody's going to have to wait 15 years to get theirs. Now, if you've been watching some of these hedge funds, they've stopped redemptions. So you've got your money invested in this hedge fund over here, and you can't get it out. Not only did the hedge fund value go down in value by 50 or 75%, you can't even access what's left of it. And that's coming to the banks shortly. That's coming to your 401k and your Krug plan. And I'll tell you a little more about that as time progresses. The government will seize all of your retirement accounts. Now, that's what they did in Argentina, and that's what they're talking about in the halls of Washington today. So whatever you've got in your savings account, you know, for your retirement, you need to get it out of it, and get it out of your banks, and get it into gold and silver, or get it into wheat, corn, beans, onion oil, and get it into your physical possession. Because if you don't, then somebody else is going to have control of your wealth, and they're going to take it away from you. And that's what depression is all about. It is simply the massive transfer of wealth from one person to another. And you're in the process of witnessing that right now. Yeah, I got to give you a reminder here. If I can find my paper. If I can't find my paper, I won't give you the reminder. Here it is. And that is that you're listening to the Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. Now, if you'd like more information about the Law Hour and Law School, please go to our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org, or you can go to georgegordon.com, georgegordon.com. The law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. Now, it's 8 schools in all. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals but by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on a compact desk, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly. It has a radio log schedule and archives, all of which can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. The Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order one by simply calling the Law School and asking for it. The number is 417-273-4967. Once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief, and the Law Hour and editorial review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program. We often endorse or recommend books, papers, periodicals, and newsletters to our listeners. Now, these endorsements or recommendations that we give out don't mean that those authors or publications that we endorse and recommend are necessarily going to reciprocate. Keep in mind that most of these authors and publications that we cite here on the Law Hour An editorial review may be hostile, political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans whose viewpoint may not be totally endorsed by the law or an editorial review. Now, these opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program, they're mine, they're mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the views, the beliefs, or the opinions of the advertisers, the sponsors, the management, or the staff of this radio network or of this local radio station, but they should. Now, if you'd like more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org, or you can go to georgegordon.com also. Or you can call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we're reviewing the article in the October Money Changer, October 2008. Who is the villain? Now, this guy, Franklin Sanders, wrote a book called, it's on arbitrage, Why Silver Will Outproduce or Outperform Gold by 400%. The guy's right. That ultimately will be the conclusion of that matter. The price of gold and silver in its natural form out here in the rocks and the dirt and in the mines of the world, of America and the world, sits there at the rate of about 17 point something, 17.4 to 1. And that's the natural bitalic metal system or money system given to us by our Creator, God Almighty Himself. You have a bimetallic system. If you want to know how much an ounce of gold is worth, it's worth 17.4 ounces of silver. If you want to know how much silver is worth, well, 1 ounce of silver is worth 1/17th of an ounce of gold. Now, if we stick with that, we'll never go wrong. But if we want to value it instead of price it, we can do that, and that's what we've done. And today, the bankers now have it up to 75 to 1. So let's take advantage of the 75 to 1. I didn't make it that way. That isn't right, and it ought not to be done that way, but that's the way our government, and that's the way our banking system wants to do it. And so now I'm heavy in silver, and I'm going to sit back and relax. And when the price moves from 75 to 16, then I'm going to go down to my gold broker. And I'm going to put my silver on the counter, convert it to gold, and take a profit. Take an increase. Convert it to property. Don't take it in value. Take it in property. Substance for substance. That's the Ten Commandment way. Now remember, for the short term, remember that crashes and panics run 6 to 8 weeks before they exhaust themselves. Now figuring that this stock market crash began roughly at the end of September, it ought to have spent itself by the end of November. Now, for your sake and your family's, do not overlook the words that I'm about to write. If you still own stocks, mutual funds, or IRAs, or 401ks invested in stocks, here possibly is your chance to save something. You've already lost a lot, but before you lose it all, you might have a chance to save some of it. Crashes are almost always followed by corrective up moves. On the 10th of October, 1929, the Dow traded at 352. At its low on the 13th of November, 1929, it closed at 198. So it was down 154 points, or about 43%. From that November crash low, however, it rose steadily until the 17th of April, 1930, when it hit 294, gaining back 95 points, or about 61% of the October to November crash. Then from April of 1930, the Dow fell without relief until July of 1932, when it hit 41, down 89% from its 1929 all-time high of 381. Now, by comparison, the Dow today, falling 89% from its October 2000 high at 14,164, that would take it down to 1,500. Today, the Dow could drop into the 6,000s before the present crash ends. But the correction will seem like the return of sunshine and high spring. Every voice and all advice will carry the soul of optimism. That rally might reach considerably over 10,000, even 11,000, before it turns downward much lower. Now, if you've been watching, the stock market has been very volatile. Now, stocks are unjust weights and balances. Now, we were told by our Creator, don't involve yourself with it at all. Now, if you have involved yourself with these stocks and bonds and with other paper, you're going to take a loss. You've already taken a loss. Now, you can learn from that and cash out and save something, or you can stay in and lose it all. It's up to you. You're not going to be any skin off my back. I'm not here to give you legal advice or to give you financial advice. I'm here to give you information. Here's what happened. I'm going to read it to you again. Pay attention. Listen up. Crashes. These stock market crashes are almost always followed by corrective up moves. So the crash that you're witnessing right now that's wiping you out is going to have an up move. And they've always done that in the past. So if we looked at the Dow back in 1929, it reached its peak at 351 or 352, and it hit its low on the 13th of November 1929 when it closed at 198. So it lost about 43%. Now, from that November crash low, however, it rose steadily until the 17th of April, 1930, when it hit 294. It gained back about 61% of that crash loss. Then from April of 1930, the Dow fell without relief until the 8th of July 1932, when it hit its low at 41.22, down 89% from its 1929 and all-time high. By comparison, the Dow today, falling 89% from its October 2000 high at 14,000, would land at around 1,500. Today, the Dow could drop into the 6,000s before the present crash ends, but the correction will seem like the return of sunshine and high spring. And all the voices and all the pundits that you're listening to, you know, on CNBC and on the television are going to say, oh, we've reached the bottom. Everything's going to be all right. And when you hear that, when you're listening to peace, peace, when there is no peace, then you'll know that war is right at the door. Now, every voice and all advice will carry the soul of optimism. And that'll be your chance. That'll be your last chance to get out of stocks. So as I've been pointing out since 2001, stocks are in a primary downtrend or bear market, and it's going to last for about 15 to 20 years. So it's going to be 2020 before that bear market turns around in stocks. And then when it does turn around in 2020, stay out of the stock market. It's bad business. God himself told you that. Now, let's rip off this value mask. The problem is that stocks wear a value mask. And you must learn to rip that value mask off of stocks and every other investment because of hyperinflation. Already, the value of U.S. dollars changes so much and so continually that trying to calculate the real value using dollars, how much of that will this thing buy now or what is it worth, it resembles shooting skeet off the back of a bass boat in a storm. If you hit the target, it's totally by accident. So learn to rip off the value mask. Stop calculating the value of your investments, especially stocks, in terms of U.S. dollars. And stop thinking in terms of U.S. dollars and think in terms of gold and silver. And in the Money Changer, every month, Sanders has what he calls the Dow in gold. The Dow in gold. And so I'm looking at it right here. It's on page 5. Or page. No, that's wrong chart. It's on page 6 and 7. He's got several charges in here, along with the bullion price update. And he has the Dow in gold dollars. And then in the Dow in paper dollars, and then gold in paper dollars. And he'll show you how to calculate that in gold, which is where the real value is. That's where the real numbers lie. Nobody investing in stocks between 1960 and today has made a dime. You have always lost money. And investing for the long haul has only lost money. It may be true that you made more total dollars, but the purchasing power of those total dollars buys less. There's no profit in the stock market. There isn't now. There hasn't been in the past, and there isn't going to be in the future. It's a fool's errand. And if you just can't withdraw your foot from gambling, for crying out loud, go to the crap table. Every time you put your money on the pass line, you can get a decision every 30 seconds. You don't have to wait for months and months to find out how much you've lost. You can find out in 30 seconds. Every throw of the dice has a winner and a loser. If you want action, go to the casino. That's where it's at. So rip off this value mask. From its January 2000 high, this is January 2000, the Dow hit 11,700. Then the Dow dropped in 2002. Then it rose again to reach 14,000 in 2007. So you say, wow, we gained 2,500. We went from 11,700 to 14,000. Now, if that's the way you're calculating profit, you know, I got a bridge to sell. You're wrong. When you correct that for inflation, the Dow had barely kept pace with its 11,700 value, and therefore we know that 14,000 did not represent any new Dow high and the beginning of a new bull market, but rather it was called a double top, and one so widely separated in time, it was separated from 2000 to 2007 because of all of the manipulations by the Fed. Remember, Alan Greenspan was out here pumping up the bubbles. That it suggests the bear market will last far longer than anticipated. This bear market that we're in right now is going to last for years and years and years and years and years, boys and girls. If you're wondering where the bottom is, we haven't got a clue as to where the bottom is. And right now, the world economy is in free fall. We haven't got a clue as to where this thing is going to end. So sit back and relax and enjoy the ride. And rip off this value mask, because from August of 2000, when the Dow cost 44 ounces of gold, to the 24th of October 2008, when the Dow cost 11 ounces of gold, the Dow Jones Industrial Average lost 75% of its peak value against gold. Between 2000 and 2008, if you were invested in stocks, you lost 75%. And that's assuming that you didn't lose anything on the downturn. Now, on this last bear market, the stock market has already lost between July and November of 2008. It lost $7 trillion, same amount of money that it lost in 2000, $7 trillion. Then in addition to that, you got to watch the value of your house drop by $6 trillion collectively here in the United States. That's a total of $13 trillion. Now, that's money, that's wealth, that's value that we all thought we had that just evaporated in about 90 days. $13 trillion, $13 trillion in 90 days. And we're in free fall, and we haven't got a clue as to where the hell the bottom is. And so when you're listening to these pundits, you know, come in here and talk about stocks and the recovery and one thing and another, it's just BS. They don't know what the hell they're talking about. Now let's take a look at silver and gold. Silver and gold have tanked during this stock market panic, and that shouldn't surprise anybody. When a hurricane strikes, all boats are pushed before the wind. First, margin clerks, as Ned Schmidt points out, know no mercy. Highly leveraged hedge funds, among other investors, have been forced by margin calls to liquidate anything they own, merely to raise money to meet the margin calls. All alone, that margin call forced selling would explain falling metals prices. But there's a second factor, and I have no doubt that much of the selling has been government and Fed manipulation. Now play the prosecuting attorney a moment. Apply motive, means, and opportunity. Government has the motive. They certainly don't want gold, the prime alternative money to the U.S. dollar and every other fiat currency, blasting through 1,000 while they're trying to manage a worldwide financial crisis. That would signal to the world that the dollar's days are numbered. So they're trying to keep up the illusion by manufacturing a false bottom for gold. And they're working on it. They're manipulating the price. Many times people call me and say, well, how in hell can you manipulate the price with supply and demand? And they're not manipulating the price with supply and demand. They couldn't. And they don't. And they aren't. They manipulate the price very simply. At 10:30 in the morning at the Bank of England in London, they say the price of gold today is $750. They could come out tomorrow morning at 10:30 and say the price of gold is $650. And the price of gold would be down another $100. And that's because 82% of all of the gold transactions in the world, 82%, are handled in paper. Here's the way normal people do business. They call their broker and they say, I want to buy 100 ounces of gold. And their broker says, you're down, Tom, for 100 ounces. Send your check. And the guy sits down, writes a check for the 100 ounces of gold, and sends it to his broker. His broker sends him back a piece of paper and says, you now have 100 ounces of gold in your COMEX account. None of these people have ever touched this gold. It's all paper. Now, it is true that on the COMEX, they've got millions and millions of ounces of gold, and if you actually called them today and said, hey, send me my 100 ounces, they could do that, and they will. But the vast majority of people never see, never touch, never handle, never feel their gold. But 18% of us do. So 18% of us have physical possession of our gold, and the way they manipulate it is very simple. In the paper market, they simply say the price is, and they can dictate what that price is. So if I want to sell an ounce of gold in the morning, the price is going to be about $750. For my 1 ounce physical ounce of gold, I put it on the counter, I get $750. And the reason that I'm going to get $750 is who in hell is going to pay me $800 when the Bank of England will sell you gold all day long for $750? But here's where the rubber meets the road, children. One of these days, some indeterminate period of time, there's going to be a crisis come up. There's going to be an event transpire. And there's going to be more people who go into the COMEX and say, give me my gold. And the COMEX isn't going to have the gold to give. And that's called the traditional run on the bank. Then the jig is up. Then people's confidence will fail. See, right now, today, everybody's got confidence in their paper holdings. So a hedge fund is sitting here with, let's say, 50 million ounces of gold. And their clients, their customers, are saying, I want to cash out. So they have to sell that gold. And they're selling it into the market. They're selling it into a bear market because lots of people are selling anything they can sell to maintain their liquidity. And so you have the illusion of a deflation. Prices are going down. There's a lot of metal out there. The price of silver, price of gold, the price of copper, platinum, and all of these metals, all the commodities have taken a hit. Oil. But it's temporary. And this is not the major deflation. It just appears to be. Sit back and relax now. The major deflation hasn't occurred yet. The inflation is coming. And they're printing money at the rate of 340% per year. They are bailing companies out and banks out to the tune of trillions. Get this AIG bailout. The government paid $80 billion for AIG and took on $10 trillion worth of debt. That $80 billion, last time I saw a number, was up to $165 billion. And climbing. Now, if you want to stay in the tax system and keep paying your income tax to bail out the banks, well, that's fine by me. I don't want to get in the way of your happiness and success. But I can't for the life of me see any profit or any value in that. So tuck that one away in your heart. What you're witnessing here is a temporary round of events, and you have to be able to sit back and relax, hang on. Hyperinflation is what is coming. That's the big kahuna. Hyperinflation, that's the big kahuna. Now, government has the means. In the Gold Reserve Act of 1934, a secret slush fund called the Exchange Stabilization Fund was created specifically to manipulate the price of the dollar and gold. The ESF still exists. The U.S. Treasury still uses it. It's called the Exchange Stabilization Fund, and there's more. After the 1987 stock market crash, the president created the so-called Working Group on Financial Markets. It's also known as the Plunge Protection Team, to prevent or to contain another such crash. Well, that hasn't worked out too well, but the PPT still hangs around, still dips its manipulating toes into the stock market, and of late, almost daily. Government has the opportunity. Government has the means. And if they lacked it before, the government crisis certainly, or the present crisis certainly provides it. Government has a record. And the day of the 1987 stock market crash, I was sitting in a Montana airport with R.E. McMaster watching the crash on TV, and I remember him noticing that in the thin aftermarket, somebody was selling platinum. Of course, gold traders also watch platinum, and a sudden drop in the platinum market sent investors scurrying out of gold, which the crash had encouraged them to buy heavily. Now, in the early part of December, the Wall Street Journal ran an unusually long and candid series of articles about what really happened during the crash. For example, what the Fed and the Treasury did to contain it. And in addition to heavily buying S&P futures to trick arbitragers into buying the underlying stocks, as I remember, they also bragged about breaking gold demand by selling platinum futures because it is so much smaller of a market. Our thrifty government got more bang for its manipulating buck by selling platinum rather than gold. Now, I'm not going to change these market manipulations, and neither are you or anybody else. But hey, listen, let's pay attention to the primary trend. The trend is your friend. Always remember that. The trend is your friend. And the trend is toward inflation. Now, inflation isn't good for the masses of people out there, but you know, now that I know that inflation is coming, then that's what I'm going to bet on, and that's what I'm going to play the game for. And if you want to do the same, well, then here's the opportunity. You've got it here right in front of you. The information, now remember, is contained in the October Money Changer, and you can call and get a copy of the number to call 888-218-9226. Once more, that's 888-218-9226, the Money Changer, October 2008, Franklin Sanders. Hey, I'm about out of time here again, children. Let's give you a final reminder here that you've been listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Remember, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. Now, if you'd like more information about The Law School and The Law Hour, then just go to our website at georgegordon.com, georgegordon.com, or georgegordon.org. The Law School teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. Now, that's eight schools in all. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Hey, that's our signal. Our time's up. I've got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night, same time, same station, God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, and good night, friends.